Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's always a pleasure to be part of your day, and I'm glad you're part of mine. I know you are, too. I know it's like a dream come true being part of my day, isn't it? Andrew Sherman is our guest. He's our good friend, and Andrew is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of so many books, I can't carry all of them, but two of my favorites, actually, are Franchising and Licensing, which is the Bible on licensing and franchising, and also Raising Capital. That's one of his newer ones. Andrew Sherman, welcome back.
It's great to be back, Jim. Sorry, it's actually been a little bit longer in between shows than we like to have, but there's been a lot going on, so lots to talk about.
Well, we missed you, and we need to try to make sure that it doesn't take that long next time, but we're glad to have you here. It's good to have you here today. And by the way, folks, Andrew is an attorney in the interest of full disclosure, so he breaks out into some legalese. He usually doesn't, but occasionally he breaks out into some legalese, and if he does that, you'll understand. Andrew, and by the way, we love him anyway. Andrew, you've been working on a lot of mergers and acquisitions lately, haven't you?
Yeah, there seems to be a real uptick, Jim, in what I'll call the trickle-down effect. As everybody knows, the economy has begun its recovery. I like to say to clients it is still recovering, not recovered. But as part of that recovery has been an uptick in mergers and acquisitions. Now, when mergers and acquisitions are in a down cycle and they begin to come back again, it starts with all the big companies, and it's not a topic very interesting for us to talk about until it starts trickling down to the small and medium-sized businesses. Well, that trickle-down effect has definitely happened. I would say slowly beginning at the beginning of this year and really coming into full swing now, has been a real uptick in clients calling me and saying, I think we're going to sell our company. We're not sure when, we're not sure how, we're not sure to whom, but we do want to explore the possibility of selling, and what do we have to do, how does it work, who do we work with, what team needs to be put in place, what kinds of things need to be done before we can, you know, it's almost like, selling your house. I mean, what kinds of repairs do you want to make to your house before you start showing it to potential buyers? Or do you want to sell it as is? And that's the kind of trend that we probably ought to spend some time on this morning.
Well, I'm glad you want to talk about that. And folks, I'd like to point out, as Andrew, as you know, as I always do, we paint with a pretty broad brush here on this show in terms of the small business owners that we try to serve. And, you know, some of you are small company. Maybe you got a little company like mine. You might be saying, well, you know what, I don't even know if I want to ever sell or to sell out. You know, maybe I'll hand it off to my kids or whatever. But, you know, and you're so far away from being what you think a traditional merger and acquisition candidate is, meaning probably, you know, quite a few employees. Remember this, everything that Andrew's going to talk to us about today are things that are helping, if they're helping these companies to get themselves in order to be sold, that means that they're helping, he's helping the businesses to be more efficient and more profitable. And you know what, that's good for everybody, whether you're going to be a merger acquisition candidate or not. So Andrew, having said that, you're on.
Can I add one more thing to that,
yep,
Jim, before we delve in? Just yesterday, I was quoted in an article in the New York Times business section, and the theme of the article was actually on succession planning. I mean, a topic maybe we'll hit on another show, but the point of the article was that no matter how old or young you are, no matter how big or little your company may be, having a succession plan in place is a critical step. And of course, in many cases, that succession plan is the sale of the company, because there is no child or spouse or niece or nephew who wants to come in and take over the business. So Well, I don't want to delve too much into succession planning, and I would urge our listeners to take a look at yesterday's Times or go online and do it, because it's a really well-written article. I'm just quoting it a few times. It's a critical step. I mean, what would happen to your company tomorrow? And the point you just made triggered that thought in my mind. I'm not just trying to plug yesterday's article.
Right. No,
you know, what would happen if tomorrow you weren't here, or you got hit in a bad car accident, or you couldn't run the business?
You know, Andrew, I actually know of a story right now where a young man in his early 40s was a Midas franchise operator, and he ran the business well, but then one day, as you said, for whatever reason, he wasn't there, and he hadn't done no succession planning, and his family wound up just closing the business. They lost everything. And so that's word to the wise. 22. We'll be right back with our good friend Andrew Sherman. We're going to talk about getting your company ready for selling or whatever. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Andrew Sherman. He's the author of Raising Capital, among other books. If you go to your local bookstore, you'll see his books all over the place. You can also check him out there at Amazon.com. Look, type in Andrew Sherman or type in Raising Capital or Franchising and Licensing or any of the other books that you can find there. Check those out when you get a chance. Okay. Oh, great merger and acquisition guru. We're sitting at your feet, and we're waiting on you. We've just told you that we're interested in finding out what it would take if we were to decide to divest ourselves of our company. We'd like for somebody else to take it over and run it. We want you to make sure that we walk away with as many shekels as possible. Oh, great one. Please help us.
All right. And as long as everybody listening remembers the point we made right before the break, which was everybody's got to have a succession plan, no matter who you are, no matter how big you are. That is a critical point to take away this morning. Now, shifting to the topic at hand. The first question I would ask yourself, if you're thinking about selling your company even a couple of years from now, because some of the things we're going to talk about in the next 20 minutes could take a couple of years to fix, is if tomorrow, and this is a really important question, if tomorrow I was part of a larger company, what kinds of things am I doing today that I couldn't do anymore? Okay, now what do I mean by that? For example, when you've got your own business and you're the 100% owner and you've got nobody to answer to, you can in many ways do whatever you want. If you've got a brother who has been struggling and you want to put him on the payroll and he doesn't have to show up for work, that's your, you know, discretion to do.
Folks, you might think he's crazy, but I've seen that.
Oh, of course. I mean, there are people that have good hearts, and they try and help out family members, or they've got, you know, their son or daughter coming in for a summer job, except they're showing up once out of the 5 days,
right,
and they're still getting a full paycheck, which, of course, doesn't make the other employees very happy, but that's your right as the owner. That's the beautiful thing about this country. I mean, as long as you're not cheating the tax man, there's a lot of things you can do as a small business owner that you can't do if you were part of a larger company.
Right.
So one of the first things to do is sort of make a list. What are the things that I would need to stop doing or do differently if I were part of that larger company?
This is kind of a cleanup project, isn't it?
What's that?
It's kind of a cleanup project, isn't it?
It is a cleanup project. It's getting your house in order, and stop doing or do differently was really, you know, one of the themes. Now, the second part of that exercise is an exercise that's really kind of complicated, but let's get into it for a minute, and it's called recasting. Mm-hmm. And what recasting is to say, what accounting or financial or compensation practices do I have in place that would not be acceptable or tolerated or would be done differently at a larger company? And what would my financials look like if I were to recast them? For example, lots of small business owners, and you don't need to physically stand up this morning and raise your hand, but lots of small business owners run a whole series of expenses through their company that they may not do if they were part of a larger company, whether it's country club dues or your car or whatever. And in many cases, you want to recast your financials to have them look more like you were part of a larger company, because that's what shows the buyer how profitable you really are. You may be taking a salary of X, but your real compensation is X plus one or plus two or plus three, and that's the profitability that the company is going to have if they were to buy you.
Well, and the thing is it's possible that some of that recasting is you're going to like it because you're having to pay for some things that are legitimate that they won't have to pay for because they're already paying for it somewhere else.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you,
you could actually like the recast numbers.
You made a really important point at the beginning of the show, Jim, and that is, even if you're listening today and you're thinking you may never want to sell your business, and I hope you rethink that point after our little discussion about succession planning, but even if you think you're not going to sell your business, I've had some owners go through the exercise of getting your house in order and recasting and some other things we're about to talk about, and they have found that they really learned a lot from that process,
yep,
even if they ultimately aren't going to sell their company, because their company is a lot more profitable than they even realize because they've never been through this exercise.
You know, the other thing, the reason why I think people need to be tracking this issue, even though they're planning to hand it off to Junior, is because I've seen companies who thought that was going to happen, and then by the time they retired, the company wasn't doing well enough for the owner to take a retirement out of it. Junior wasn't sharp enough to be able to run the business and buy the business from mom and pop. And so, sort of almost at the last minute, within the last year, they had to decide to sell, and they didn't have their cornflakes together. They'd waited too long.
That's another excellent point. You know, if you're thinking about, I've met with a lot of business owners who say, no, I'm not going to sell. I'm going to literally give the business to my kids. That's why I worked so hard for 30 years. Well, that raises an interesting financial question. If you're going to give the business, literally gift the business to your kids, is there enough money in the business for them to be feeding their families and for there to be a retirement income coming into you? In some cases, that's not the case. And you're right, owners are a little late in realizing that because they haven't really studied the financials carefully enough.
Well, exactly, and that's the reason why, and I know you recommend this to people, Andrew, is to kind of have two parallel universes going here in your mind and in practice. One is, okay, I'm going to sell the business. That's what this would look like. And, okay, I'm going to give the business to my kids. That's what this would look like. But you don't forsake one for the other. You keep both of them going at the same time. When we come back, Andrew's going to help us understand how to do that right after these messages.
Absolutely.
Intel, Andrew Sherman, the author of Franchising and Licensing. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Andrew Sherman. I encourage you to go online to Amazon or when you go to your local bookstores, look for him, ask for him. I know that, Andrew, your franchising and licensing book just keeps popping up out there in the bookstores.
Yeah, that third edition is doing real well, and thanks everybody who's listening for your support on that. And the second edition of Raising Capital will be out late this year, and If it's okay, Jim, one other website you might want to take a look at is our firm's website, MWE.com.
Yeah, say it again.
MWE.com. That gives some information on our firm and what we do all day.
Right. And give us the name. That's
McDermott, Will, and Emery.
Yep.
And the website
MWE.com. You're based out of Washington, but I think the firm's out of Chicago, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got offices all over the world.
Right. MWE.com, you can find Andrew there, and as he said, as he mentioned, many of you probably have seen him quoted in a lot of the different publications because he often is. Andrew, we got in the last segment, help us understand what we need to do to get our business ready for some kind of divesting.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the process. We talked about getting your house in order and thinking of yourself as if you were part of a larger company. And what would you do differently or stop doing and recasting? And these are all very important points. Now let's talk some more about the process. One of the things that we highly recommend as lawyers, of course, is some type of a legal or, and or intellectual property audit as a precursor. Let's say, for example, that you've had some type of illegal employment or labor practices, or you're not paying overtime properly, or you've been hiring or firing people wrong. These are the kinds of things that you want to have your own lawyers discover before a buyer's lawyer comes in and
right.
discovers it for you,
right?
Because that will significantly affect your valuation. So
we might have some contingent liabilities that we need to clean up.
Exactly. There may be some things that you don't even realize you're doing wrong, but let me tell you from experience, the time to find out that you're doing something wrong is not when the buyer and their due diligence team is in there looking at you.
Right.
It's before that happens. So that you
got
don't
dirty
have...
laundry. If you got dirty laundry, you want to find it, not them.
Absolutely. And so I think that's a big part of the process. Let me just tick off a couple of more as we get closer to the top of the hour, and we can talk more about them on a subsequent show. But one of the things you want to ask yourself is, how am I going to do this? Am I going to use an investment banker or intermediary or financial advisor or broker or not? Am I going to try and sell it myself? Am I going to open my kimono, if you will, only to financial buyers, or am I going to open my kimono and take offers from strategic buyers? And if we're going to take it from strategic buyers, understand that that may include some of your competitors.
Right.
Some business owners are afraid to sell because they don't want to let their competitors know that they're for sale. Another mechanical issue is, who else is going to know? Who else will know in terms of who will they know and when? It sounds like Watergate, right? Who will they know and when will they know it?
Right.
When do you tell your key employees? You know, that you're thinking about selling.
That's the real challenge for a lot of small businesses. We're typically just not sophisticated in how all that works, how we manage to find out how to sell our business and to be courted by people, by other organizations, and still keep it under the radar. That's a lot of times we don't even know that's possible, but it is.
Exactly. And then the last point is, you know, what are you going to show, and when are you going to show it? We call it the book. You're going to write up something about your company, about its potential, about how it fits into the potential buyer. Who's going to write that book? What's it going to say? What can you anticipate as to how valuable you'll be into the arms of the buyer? A big part of this process is understanding, why would somebody buy me? What are they looking for? Where would I add value? And understanding those points is a critical part of the process in terms of maximizing the valuation.
Absolutely. Well, and also I'd like to point out, Andrew, that there are people out there, folks, who can help you with this. If your eyes are crossing at some of the things we're talking about, don't worry about it. There are people who can help you. Andrew's one of them, but there are a lot of other folks out there who can help you do this. Andrew, we got to wrap it up. I want you to give us your website one more time.
Our firm's website is MWE.com. Thanks for asking, and I wish everybody a great rest of the summer.
Thank you, Andrew, for being here. Good job today, and we'll get you back on again next time because we got more to talk about. See you later. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.